Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We are going to be celebrating God's gift of life today. That's the title of the message. And what I want to do is look at several short passages from God's Word, but especially one that comes, my favorite passage, when it talks about the sanctity, the holiness, the value of life, is Psalm chapter 139. So we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. Most of us don't realize just how intricate and wondrous our physical bodies really are. Now, I realize that this is not what we're taking with us to heaven, but when God made us and gave us these physical bodies, there's some miraculous things that go on in these bodies of ours. But King David evidently understood about the value of human life. David was so impressed with the wonder of God's gift that he wrote about it in Psalm 139. And he uses this beautiful picture of God as a skilled craftsman, putting us together in an amazing and miraculous way. So what David is basically saying in this song is this. He said, I didn't just happen. I am not an accident. I have value and I have worth. And that's what I want you to take with you today. You are not an accident. There's a reason for your existence. God created you. You have value and you have worth in your life. And that's true for every single one of us and every single person on earth. So for a few minutes today, I want to give you some reasons why we can celebrate God's wonderful gift of life. But before we do that, as we always do, let's ask for his wisdom, his blessing, and his understanding as we spend these few moments in his word. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father. We thank you that you are here with us, and we thank you for what we've been able to enjoy and experience this morning as these parents came forward to dedicate their children to you. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you, and we want to praise you today that we indeed can celebrate your gift of life. You have made every single one of us here today. And I pray, Father, that when we leave here, we will be reminded again of the value, the sanctity, the holiness of human life. Lord, use me in a way today that will be pleasing to you. And I pray you will help me to communicate this truth in a way that will encourage us and lift us up and help us to realize how valuable we are in your sight. And we praise you for that. So Lord, bless your word in our time, and we will give you the praise for its truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's because of the first reason that we can celebrate the gift of life. And that first reason is this. God has declared that every individual on earth has value. God has declared that throughout his word. That means you and me and every other person on the face of the earth has value. Now, the world may not know what kind of value we have, but that is because only the one who created us really knows what we are worth. I did some reading recently, and I'm just totally amazed at the uniqueness of our physical bodies and how they work. Let me just give you some examples here. In 1 square inch of skin, according to the articles that I have read, you will find 20 blood vessels, 65 muscles, 78 nerve sensors for heat, 13 nerve sensors for cold, 160 for pressure, 650 sweat glands, 1,300 nerve endings, and 19,500,000 cells in 1 square inch of skin. Now, I don't know about you, but that's amazing to me. And then there's that brain, which weighs about 3 pounds, but will store 100 trillion bits of information over the course of 70 years. And that storage capacity is roughly equal to 500,000 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is stacked, would stretch out 442 miles. It's serviced by 45 miles of nerves that send impulses through your body as rapidly as 325 miles per hour. Your eyes are capable of seeing a small candle flame from 30 miles away if it's a very clear, completely dark night. And your eyes can distinguish among 300,000 different color variations. Now, I said all that just to say I can't even fathom that. I can't fathom how God has created us. David wrote this in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will give thanks to you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Now, I'm guessing David probably didn't realize all those facts I just mentioned about our physical bodies when he penned this psalm. But I do know that something about his body caused him not only to remark about how awesomely and wonderfully he was made, but also to say in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. You see, David arrived at his conclusion that he was a valuable individual because he recognized that he was created by God. And I want you to just to contemplate, just to meditate on these first six verses of Psalm 139 that I'm going to read right now. Just think about this. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from far away. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all. You have encircled me behind and in front and placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot comprehend it. David knew it was God that gave him his life's value. It was God who gave him his worth, and without God, his life had no value. I was trying to find and think about a way to illustrate this. I really couldn't. I'm going to do the best I can. This is a $20 bill that I just put in my wallet yesterday because I usually don't carry that much money in my wallet. So I put a $20 bill in here. Now, if I were to ask you, if I gave this away, would you take it? Yeah, I would hope you would. I'm not going to give it away. But if I would give it to you, you'd take it, right? Because it does have some value. Now, if I would, and I'm not going to do this either, but if I would tear it a little bit, or if I would wad it up and crumple it, would you take it then? Yeah, why? It's still 20, it still has value, correct? So even if I did that, you would take it. But my question is, why is this piece of paper with ink on it valuable? Why is it worth $20? Is it because of the paper? Is it because of the ink? No. It's worth $20 because the government of the United States, which created it, says it is worth $20. And that is the only reason that it has any value at all. Now here's where the application sets in. If God didn't create us, or if you believe God did not create us, number one, you have a problem. Because if God didn't create us, or we didn't believe that he did, then we have no reason to believe that we have any greater value than any other living creature, whether it's the smallest insect or the most disgusting rat in the sewer. We could not claim that we had any value greater than theirs. And in the Bible, God condemns that kind of thinking because to God, all people have value. I want you to think a moment why this is true. Every person's value is based on the fact that we are created in God's image. That's why we have value. That's what makes people special of all of God's creation. In Genesis 1, verse 27, we're told this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. In Genesis 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person. For that reason, God values all people, especially people that the world would overlook. Now, all I'm trying to show here is that God says all human life has value. And only you have your kind of abilities, skills, and potential that God has built into you. So we can celebrate God's gift of life because God has declared that you are a very valuable person. Second reason that we can celebrate God's gift of life is this: God knows us even before we breathe our first breath. The question most asked whenever the topic of abortion comes up is this, and it's a valid question. When does life begin? Good question. God has answered that question for us. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he's speaking actually to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is relating this to us. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, the Hebrew word here used for our English word formed is yatzar. In that day, it was used by potters when they molded their clay into a particular shape, when they would pour it into a mold, so to speak. In fact, that word literally means to squeeze into a predetermined shape. So God's word here in Jeremiah is also telling us that before God formed us, shaped us, brought us into existence, he knew us. And that Hebrew word is yada, which provides a great meaning far deeper than mere intellectual knowledge and awareness. Yada means personal commitment and intimate experience with the person known. So God not only knew Jeremiah, but knew him, was involved in a personal way with him before he was conceived. And this means that God knew each of us sitting here and listening today intimately before we were even a twinkle in our mother's eyes. So David writes in Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. He not only knew us then, he valued us and loved us as part of his future creation. But some people today question, but to what extent does God know us? It's very simple. God knows us past, present, and future. God knew each of us before we breathed our first breath, and he knows all the unborn children that are conceived every day and those in the future who have not yet been conceived. Now, I realize there are many people, including maybe some of you here today, who may be listening to what I say, and they would say to me, and maybe you're thinking in your own minds, well, I understand this, Sam. I understand I'm awesomely and wonderfully made. I know that. I know my body is a biological wonder. I know that God created me, but I just don't feel very valuable. Have you been there before? I just don't feel very sacred or valuable in God's sight. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm just too old now, or I'm too poor, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not good looking enough, or I'm not talented enough. I don't feel like I have abilities or skills that's going to help anybody in this life. I'm not, and you can fill in the blank with a number of words there. Maybe you feel shortchanged in your life. And I understand that kind of thinking, because some of us are getting older and weaker and intellectually challenged. But that thinking fails to consider that our value doesn't depend upon our strengths. Our value depends upon our Creator who made us. And that's why you're important to him. Our value or our worth to God is constant. But our value or worth to others is increased in direct relation to how much we allow God to use us. If you search through the Bible, when God wanted something done, he did basically what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 and 28. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the insignificant things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no human may boast before God. You see, God isn't finished with us yet. He's created us. He's designed us with a unique purpose in mind. But it is only when we lay hold of his power and wait patiently for his guidance that we realize our full potential. You must remember that some of the greatest heroes in the Bible were very flawed people until God finished his work in their lives. Now just follow me here for a moment. Consider Jacob, who became Israel, was a liar. Moses, who led God's children from Egyptian slavery, was a stutterer. King David had an affair and then committed murder. Elijah suffered from depression. Naomi was a widow. Abraham was too old to have children. David was too young to battle Goliath. Timothy had ulcers. Thomas was a doubter. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus was dead till God raised him up again. Now, if God can do great things with these men and women that are found in his word, what do you think he can do with you? Sometimes, even though we're striving to live for God and obey the Bible, we get frustrated and we ask, I'm just one person, what can I do? Well, here's the third reason why we can celebrate God's gift of life. But we have to have this attitude. We must value life the same way God does. We must value life the same way God does. David said, Psalm 139, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, God. How vast is the sum of them. From everything that David says in this psalm, we know that he valued life in the same way God did. But in our culture, there are those who try to convince us that we don't even start becoming valuable, we don't start becoming truly human until we are born. In fact, many people call those children in a woman's womb a fetus, a collection of tissue that can be tossed aside if it is considered to be an inconvenience to the mother. Pro-abortion advocates have gone even further than that. They have argued that if a child faces a potential deformity or social misfortune, then parents should seriously consider aborting that child. The abortion rights advocates would point out these factors as good reasons for a quote-unquote fetus, as they would put it, to be torn from the womb. Why is it, they say? Because that child would have no chance to live a good life. In other words, they would have no true value in this world. That's what they say. What does God say? One person has put together a series of examples of how this false thinking would play out. And these examples I'm about to give to you are all true examples of real people who face difficult decisions. So here's case number one. There's a preacher and his wife who are very, very poor. They already have 14 children. Now she finds out she's pregnant with number 15. They're already living in tremendous poverty. Considering that in the world's population, would you consider recommending an abortion to that couple? Many would. That 15th child grew up to be John Wesley, one of the Restoration Movement preachers in the 19th century. Case number two. The father's become deathly sick. Mom has tuberculosis. They have four children. The first child is blind. The second child is already dead. The third child is deaf. And the fourth child has tuberculosis. She finds out she's pregnant again. Given that extreme situation, would you consider recommending an abortion? Many would. This mother's fifth child was a man named Ludwig von Beethoven, who became one of the greatest music composers in history. Case number three. A white man has raped a 13-year-old black girl, and she became pregnant. If you were her parents, would you consider recommending an abortion? The child of this raped black girl became a great gospel singer. Her name, Ethel Waters, who has sung in many churches, crusades, preaching events in her life. Final case is one I think you're familiar with. A teenage girl becomes pregnant. She's not married, at least not officially yet. Her fiancé is not the father of the baby, and he's a little bit concerned by that. Would you consider recommending an abortion? Now, you might recognize this child as the son of a woman by the name of Mary from Nazareth, and his name, Jesus. Now, here's this point I'm trying to make. Any sin against human life is a sin against God. That's what the Bible teaches. If God is the author of human life, he alone has the right to take it or to dictate the terms under which life may be taken. So any sin against human life is a sin against God himself. It's an assault against his image. Since all human life, according to God's word, is distinct from the animal world, then no individual life, born or unborn, young or old, healthy or diseased, should be deemed as anything less than a special creation that reflects the very image of God. You remember back in Genesis chapter 4, we read of the first murder when Cain killed his brother Abel. In verse 10, we read where God told Cain that Abel's blood was crying out to him from the ground. Whenever life is taken outside of God's plan, it causes great grief to God. And the fact that people kill their children for supposed future gain is not something new. It was happening in the Old Testament. God first began to address this practice in Leviticus 18, verse 21, saying to his people, "You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy puts it even more bluntly in chapter 12, verse 31. "You shall not behave this way toward the Lord your God, because every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire for their gods." Now we read things like that, and we think that is horrible, and it is. We see that God was without question against these people sacrificing their children to the many gods of their day. And yet I find it so amazing, people are still doing the same thing today. They're sacrificing their children to the gods of convenience or financial success, or education, that by getting rid of the baby, they might somehow have some chance at a better life themselves. We must, as God's children and followers of Jesus, continue to make our stand that any sin against human life is a sin against God. And then there's something else we ought to be doing in order to celebrate God's gift of life. We are to be ambassadors of hope and forgiveness, telling others about true life in Jesus. Jesus spoke very loudly and very clearly in John 14, 6. It's a popular passage that we use a lot here. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus celebrated life. He was a cheerleader for all life. He said in John 10, verse 10, "I came so that they," meaning you and me, "we may have life and have it abundantly." His point in these two passages is that you have it in the past and you can't in the future really experience life until you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we can bring that hope to others if we know Jesus by being living examples of his love and mercy toward life. Because we know what it means to live. And as ambassadors of life, we can support life in how we share our lives with others and tell them about Jesus. Each person should model the life of Jesus and do their God-given part to stand up for life as God leads us. As I bring this message to a close, there is one thing that God values more than life itself, and that's new life in Jesus. And Jesus set the example for us when he walked here on earth. He not only valued everyone he came in contact with, he went out of his way to seek and save the lost. He loved to give grace to those who had little value in the eyes of the world. In John chapter 4, Jesus spoke words of life to a woman who had multiple marriage partners and was living with another man. Instead of condemning her, he gave her what she was really looking for, a relationship with the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 8, when all those righteous religious people were ready to wipe out a woman caught in adultery, instead of slinging a stone, Jesus launched some love and gave her some grace. God desires that we support the sanctity, the value, the worth, the holiness of life. And even more, he wants us to celebrate life here and look forward to life eternal with our brothers and sisters in Christ around God's throne in heaven. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Put me to the test and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me," David said, "lead me in the everlasting way." This can only happen as we enter into an intimate relationship with our Savior. So my question as we close, are you saved? I hope that all of us are able to celebrate God's gift of life.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Fraseburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.